Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. We've had a few technical difficulties this afternoon, but I welcome you to our show. This is New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here this evening, and we'll have a guest speaker online with us shortly. I hope that that clip works well. Again, let us begin with prayer. I'm Dr. Suzanne, and my husband John is on his way, Minister John, and he is on his way and will be connecting with us shortly. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity and the venue of Blog Talk Radio as a way to minister to people at all times, anytime, and through this easy access. We thank you for it, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the archived sermons and teachings, Father God, that they can be accessed at any time, dear Lord, and that they continue to increase with the outreach. We thank you, Lord, for every family and every person that's listening to the radio in real time, Father God, and even later on, dear Lord, that they will be blessed by the ministry this evening, dear Lord, that their households will be blessed, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the teaching that will go forward, dear Lord. And, Father God, in this stormy, wintry weather, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the security of an assured dwelling place, Father God, and for the warmth in our home. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Do we have our speaker on the line with us this evening?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you so much. Now, I'm going to ask you to, if you would give us your name and tell us a little bit about yourself, because I do not have that before me. And please forgive
me
for that.
That's okay. I'm Minister Robinson, Bill Robinson, and I'm preside in Atlanta, Georgia. Stockbridge. And I have my wife and I have two sons. We are attending New Vision Christian Ministry, and our pastor is Dr. Luke Hall. And tonight I want to talk about the moment. Can I get into the message tonight?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Well, what we're going to start, we're going to talk with about the moment. I want to talk about how God, in three different situations, affected lives of three people. The first person I want to talk about is, I'm going to dive a little bit into it and then come back to each person. Okay, everybody knows about Saul, who later was known as Paul. And basically, he had an experience with God on the Damascus Road. And we can find that story in Acts 9, 1 and 6. And I'm just going to go to just a little bit. Saul still breathing, threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want with me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now, here's a man who he's very well taught and have knowledge of the gospel. And here he went at Christ. Okay? Remember that. He went at Christ. The second person I want to talk about is the woman with the issue of blood.
All right.
And we're gonna find that in Luke 8 and 43, 8:43 through 47. Okay. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, and I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all people the reason she had touched him and how she had healed immediately. Now this woman, she went at Christ, okay? And the next one we're going to talk about is Jonah. And we find Jonah in the first chapter, 3 and 4. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Now Jonah, he went away from Christ. Now, all three of these people had a situation. Christ was in their life. And you see, in each situation, one went to Christ, one went at Christ, and one went away from Christ. Now, there's going to be a fourth person that I'm going to talk about. But anybody have any questions so far at this time or any comments?
Any questions or comments? All lines are open. If you're on the phone, your line is open. Any questions or comments?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on. So now, one thing we have to realize, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he can use whoever he wants, and he can do whatever he wants. So in each situation, here's Paul, who threatened the lives, and he was just doing wrong. And although he knew what was right, he was going after all the Christians. And Christ stopped him, and he changed his ways. So here we see a change in Paul right here. And he was Saul, and his name became Paul. And he turned it around. Christ turned it around and caused him to be a witness. See? And the woman with the issue of blood in Luke, she went to Christ. She tried all the physicians. She tried. She spent all her money. She did whatever she could. She was trying to get healed. And here she went to Christ. So she had to go at him. And here's Jonah who didn't want to take on his assignment. His assignment was to go and preach to Nineveh. But he wanted to run from Christ, and he wanted to do his own thing. But Christ, when he wants to use you, there's no escape. If you are called to do something, he is going to use you. And no matter what you think you could get out of, you are called to do what he's telling you to do. Now I'm going to talk about the fourth person, okay? Yeah, I'll give you a little story about this person. Now, this person, he was going out late at night and wasn't doing right, you know, shouldn't have been out at night anyway. You know, a lot of times young folk today, they go out at night, and, you know, when you reach a certain hour at night, that's the danger hour. That's when things happen. And so this particular person was on a freeway and going out to a friend's house and should have been home. And as he was driving on the freeway, this happened in Los Angeles, as he was driving on the freeway, the traffic was funneled into one lane because they were doing construction. And as he stopped behind the car that was in front of him, and there was no movement, you could see the lights, and you could look ahead and see all the construction that's going on. They're fixing the road, repairing the road. And as he moved forward, he looked in his rearview mirror, and they came to a stop, and he looked in his rearview mirror, and he seen a pickup, one of them old-style pickups that you don't see today. And the pickup was barreling down. It was 100 yards or so back, but you could see it coming quickly. And as that pickup approached, he looked in his mirror, and he tried to see if he could maybe get around where he was at, but, you know, the traffic was in one lane, and he couldn't get out. So if he kept looking in his mirror watching this guy, he hoped that this guy was going to stop, but this guy didn't stop. And in an instant, he smacked in the back of his car, and the car began to roll, and it turned over, and it rolled, and it rolled, and finally it came to a stop. You could hear the glass breaking and the crushing of the car, and it came to a stop. And this particular person got out of the car. Blood was flowing down the head. His legs were bleeding. I mean, it was because of the scrape coming out of the car, they scraped the windows and everything. And so as he got to the wall, he felt his chest was crushed, and it was very dark out. And he seen three guys put the pickup flung to the other side of the freeway, and he seen three guys get out, and he tried to call to them, but he couldn't hear him, and his chest was hurting, so he couldn't call loud. It was very dark and still. The lights that were seen before was no longer seen. And out of the blue came a young man in the construction with the orange and yellow vest and the hard hat, and he approached the man, and he told him to calm down. Told him to be quiet. Everything's going to be okay. Never touched the man. He just told him everything's going to be okay. And he said, just breathe. Take it easy. And the young man hollered back to him, just help me. Don't leave me. Stay with me. But he said, calm down. Everything's going to be all right. So he started out to get help. He said, I'm going to get help. And when he left, all of a sudden, the lights, the sirens, and everything showed up. Now, here's a situation where a man who was doing wrong met someone sent to him to straighten him out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, later on, this person got saved and realize what took place that day. So here is the person where Christ came to him. Okay? Now you have four different situations and four different instances where you see God reaching out to someone, or someone reaching out to God, or someone moving away from God, but God reaching back to them. And in life, a lot of times when we go to church, God is talking to us through the pastor, the preacher. And it's how you come into church, whether you receive from God or you miss what God has to say to you. And we look today, and it's a lot of different churches, a lot of denominations, but the one thing we lack to do is to understand God. And I want to read a scripture I'm going to read from the Message Bible. Mm-hmm. And this is talking about more or less the, well, I'm going to read it first. The Message Bible is totally different. It gives you a perspective of what's really being, you know, it's more plain. Study mm-hmm. this story of the farmer. I'm reading from it's Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Study this story of the farmer planting seeds. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and does not take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of the person's heart. This is the seed the farmer scatters on the road. The seed cast in the gravel, this is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there is no soil or character, and so when the emotions wear off and some difficulties arise, there is nothing to show for it. The seed is cast in the weeds, and the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds are of worry and illusions. Wait a minute. Excuse me. The seed cast in the weeds, and the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun, strangles what was heard, and nothing comes of it. The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the news and then produces a harvest beyond its wildest dreams. So that's basically what happens when we sit in church. Some hear good news. We hear the good news, and some the word is strangled, and some hear the word, and for a moment it lasts, and then some hear the word, and they go out and act on it. And this is similar to what some of these, the three people that I read earlier, they act on what Christ told them to do. Although Jonah, he still was disappointed because of his situation. He did not want to go to Nineveh, and even afterward, it still said that he was disappointed. And he said he had rather died than to go to Nineveh. So, and Jonah was a prophet. So now I'm going to open up for any questions or any anybody want to elaborate on anything or
any quest comments. That's good. I like the scripture that you read from Matthew, and I like the Message Bible and the Living Bible too, because it seems like you can just—it's so easy to understand, and you can really apply it to your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Exactly, because when you're serving God, you don't limit yourself just to one Bible. You can learn. There's all kind of books out there, Bibles out there that can give you, if this is mainly for the new saints that come in and they don't understand, you know, you can get the Message Bible, there's the NIV, then you can get the Study Bible, and all these books will enlighten you where you can read the passage on the side, and it'll give you a description of what, you know, the breakdown of what you're reading. And I just felt that the fourth person that I talked about, I just want to let everybody know that was me. That's what took place in my life. And
Praise you. See
where God has brought me to.
Yes.
Okay, so we had three different situations. One was sent on an assignment. One ran there to the assignment. And one needed the assignment. See, the one who needed an assignment was the woman with the issue of blood. See, she was on assignment to get healed. And so she did whatever it took. She touched Jesus' garment. She was made whole. And so there's several other stories that show similarities to these three people. And if anybody want to touch in on any of those stories that they know of that have a similar reaction where Christ did something in their life.
No, but I'd just like to comment. I'm enjoying this, Minister Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I like these different characters, and you being one of them. We all have different roads, but the destination is the same. We come
exactly.
to Christ. You know, I love it. I love it. Different scenarios, different people going different ways, different pathways. But at the end of the day, it's Christ that's drawing us anyway. We might just take different roads and do different things, but at the end of the day, our destination is the same.
Exactly, exactly.
Christ, salvation.
Exactly.
Healed, delivered, and set free.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And that's the thing with where Christians and, you know, you have a lot of denominations.
Yes.
And some denominations are caught up into tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And tradition is one of the main things that's keeping people, others, from getting involved or being saved because there's so much tradition going on. You know,
mm-hmm.
we got to do it this way, or we've been doing it this way for so many years. And you know, there was tradition back in the old biblical times, but when Jesus came on the scene,
mm-hmm.
he changed that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they watched him carefully because they wanted to see, you know, if he did something on the Sabbath
mm-hmm.
or whatever he did, they were scrutinizing him. And, you know, Jesus had an answer for everything. Everything that they tried to look at that he was doing wrong, he had an answer.
Mm-hmm.
See, so if the churches that are so caught up, you know, we got so many churches, so many denominations. You know, you got the Catholics, the Presbyterians,
mm-hmm.
you got the Pentecostal, and you
mm-hmm.
got the United Methodists, and you got so many different churches, and each church have a different perspective on how they deal with their church and how they learn about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult for the body to come together as one
mm-hmm.
if we all are doing things so differently. You know,
right.
which we should be all kingdom kids and not
mm-hmm.
so much as the denominations that we call ourselves. We all should be reaching for the kingdom, striving to do better in the kingdom. But we
That's
got so
right.
many outlooks that is separating the body of Christ. See, when you look at the body of Christ, it's simple. Just look at your own body.
Mm-hmm.
You have the head, you have the heart. You have blood running through your veins. You know, each part is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
If one part, if your pinky toe is hurting, the whole body feels it.
So true.
See, if just one part of your body is hurting, if you take something else has to cover for that that's missing.
That's
and you
right.
have to work that much harder.
Mm-hmm.
See, so the body of Christ is the same way. When one Christian or one person goes down, it hurts the body because now you have the outsiders looking and saying, see, that's why I don't want to be in that church
mm.
because they're looking at that one person. See, so it's the same thing. So you always can identify with what goes on in a Christian venue by looking at your own body.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have any comments or any questions?
Any comments? We have good teaching going on here this evening.
Yeah, it is good. It's good.
On the phone, your line is open and you're free to talk. If you're on the phone, your line is already open. So just join in the conversation, please. If you're on the computer and you want to send a message through the chat, I will read your chat message for you. Okay, let's continue.
All right, so what we want to do as the body of Christ is get better knowledge. And, you know, when you hear stuff, don't always just listen to it without doing any research.
Mm-hmm.
See, so there's all kind of books out there. And then you have to also be careful who's feeding you.
That's true.
When you go to a restaurant and you like the food, you return and you give the person a good tip. And you return, and then you also tell others about it. So is it with the body of Christ. If you hear someone, a lot of times you have pastors and preachers and ministers and all kind of clergy that come on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful. You know, if it's not lining up with what God says, you need to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
If it's good word, right, take notes. When I listen, I got a few preachers that I listen to, not many, but I have a few that I listen to, and I will have my Bible out, take notes, and then go back and listen to it to see, you know, exactly what they said. And see, when you hear a good word, you're supposed to share it with someone. Not necessarily, a lot of times what we do, we compete with each other, and we'll go and find a Christian or someone that's saved and debate with each other instead of finding someone who don't know Jesus.
Mm.
And you go out there and you find someone that don't know Jesus and teach them the word. Every time my pastor preaches, I retain a lot of his, what he says, and sometimes we'll get the CD, and then I go and share that news with others.
Mm-hmm.
Not the whole message, but what touched me.
Right.
And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bring more people to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're beating each other over the head with, well, I'm Baptist, or I'm Catholic, or I'm this, or I'm that, when we all should be kingdom kids. We're living for the kingdom. See, we're under one kingdom. And you, when you look in the book, you don't see all these denominations in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
See, man created that, and then we go from there and continue it on, and then we start establishing traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this one. I happen to work at a church, not the church I attend, but I work at a church, and they carry a candle in, and the candle drips wax. So, but because of tradition, they continue to ruin the carpet. Because of tradition, when they sell wax, they sell candles that look like, you know, they're lit, but they glow just like a regular candle.
Right.
That would be more feasible than to destroy your
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm.
See, so but because they're hung up on tradition, they refuse to do that.
Right.
See, so there's a lot of stuff that we as kingdom kids or people. We don't take it here to. We don't adhere to it. We don't make changes. We're stuck in our ways. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, if Jesus can come down here, God sent him down here to change what we were, to get us back to the garden. And he changed things. Now, how many people you see? See, if they're so caught up in tradition, how many people do you see sacrificing a bull? Sacrificing a pigeon or a bird or a dove, or you don't see that anymore, so there was a change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus came. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came and he changed the law.
Mm-hmm.
And see, so the little simple things that we do in the church that's so traditional, that can be changed too, because a lot of people are missing they're missing Jesus because they're caught up into the simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I know that Christ doesn't want us to change foundation and principles, but we should be pliable. You know, God wants to use us if we're pliable. If we're too stiff, we can break like a stick. You know, how are we going to reach the young people if we're not pliable, we who are the older ones? I'm talking about myself. I don't know about y'all. We have to not – Jesus went everywhere. He went everywhere. He talked and he supped with everyone, showing that he can go in like my bishop. I said this about my bishop, Frank Nixon. He can go into a situation and not and deal with the people, but never lose himself. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can go in and you can speak their language even, but never lose who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He posed a reflection of a bishop that can come in and be pliable to the situation at hand, but yet not lose any of who he is as a child, of, as a man of God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of things. That's what's the problem with the body of Christ. We there's too much schism in the body. We should not be so separated that we can't come together as one.
Amen.
God wants us to be one.
Amen.
Because there are people out there dying and in darkness that if we don't come together as a body, they're going to be left. And their
Amen.
Blood will be on our hands.
Amen.
Because we didn't get that big piece of chicken, or you're sitting in my seat. Just crazy. Yes, sir.
And we need to reach the young. It's so bad at how
we really do.
We're not out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reaching the young, and then some of the same believers are young, if not. They're, you know, just the dress alone of the young,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the pants down. And
yes, Lord.
I mean, that is the worst thing
Isn't
that ever
it?
Came out.
Mm-mm.
That's very degrading. And, you know, you almost can't say anything to them because, you know, there's so much gun carrying going on.
Right.
That it's hard. So that's why you have to be in the spirit when you're out
mm-hmm.
here in the streets because
so
God will lead you to who you need to witness to without
mm-hmm.
any harm or anything going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be spirit-filled and you have to pray before you leave home.
Yeah.
So when you go out there on that journey, on that battlefield,
mm-hmm.
and you won't be fearful to say what God has for you to say. And when you get out there and you see someone that needs help, you know, you got people all on the highway begging for money. You got so many
mm-hmm.
different things that where people are so scared to reach out or to minister to because of the gun violence or whatever else. You can be on the road, and if you just cut somebody off by accident, there's a violent tone in that.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it's time out that we as believers, that we get so fearful of just even moving around on the earth. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is not our home, but we're here for a reason. And we're fearing moving around on the earth.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord hasn't given us the spirit of fear.
Amen. Amen.
Well, one thing you were saying about like reaching the young people, we
mm-hmm.
have to remember too, that every generation has something that
mm-hmm.
you know that kind of bothered the generation before or that their parents. So.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was the music, you know, whether it's
mm-hmm.
the dress, even like you think about it, they called rock and roll was the devil's music.
Mm-hmm.
And now we hear versions or that style even in church and praise and worship.
Yeah,
so the style, not the words, but the style of,
mm-hmm.
of music because that reached
mm-hmm.
That reached group of people. You know, in the flapper days in the 20s, the way they were dressing and dancing was an abomination. You know, that was terrible. Women wearing pants before women, you know, there was an issue just not very long ago. You know, within the last 50 years, where women wearing
mm-hmm.
pants was an issue. That was an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
But my father's generation, Daddy used to wear a zoot suit with a long chain on the side, you know. And that was, his mother and aunt, you know, thought that was terrible that he would dress like that. And the pants were pleated and loose in the behind and, you know, and they kind of draped over their feet, you know, and that was terrible. Well, for my generation, wearing bell bottoms, the afro and wearing bell bottoms. You know, why would you wear bell bottoms? My father used to call them street sweepers because they would be all frayed on the end. On the hem because he wanted them long and baggy, and wearing halter tops. That was wrong. So every generation has something. The hot
exactly.
pants, the Daisy Duke, the pants that hang down. But we got to as believers, and as those of us that are sent out to minister. We have to be able to minister to whoever comes in front of us, whether they're strange, whether they got the big holes in their ears and the piercings and and the tattoos all over their body, whether their pants are hanging down to their, you know, to their knees, whether they have, you know, whether they're dressed in all black nail polish, black lipstick or whatever. Whatever, however they come, we are supposed to be able to see beyond that.
Exactly.
See beyond the appearance, see beyond the outward, see beyond the attitude, because a lot of our kids today are so defensive.
I'm glad you touched on that.
You know, about everything, but we got to get beyond attitude to the heart. To the heart, because every one of us, regardless of where we are, how we look, how we smell, you know, what we have on, every one of us was made to crave Jesus Christ. Every one of us, we were made to crave something greater than ourselves, you know.
Amen.
We were made to want to belong to something greater than ourselves. We were made to want to fulfill our purpose in life. And all of us, all of that comes from a relationship with Christ. And if we're afraid to talk to so-and-so or we're going to criticize somebody where they don't want to hear us and won't want to talk to us, if we're going to be defensive and be real legalistic and tight, you know, wound so tight that nobody can get through to us unless they have on, you know, carry the big Bible and have on the Baptist suit, then we're going to totally miss it. We're going to totally miss it. We're being just like the Pharisees. We're being just like the Pharisees if we're like
Jesus was so approachable.
Jesus was humble. Jesus was approachable. Jesus was among the people. He didn't stay in the temple locked up studying. He got out and shared and reached the people. He met them where they were, and he met their needs. And we have to be willing to do that.
Yes, and he never degraded anyone. He dealt with you where you were. And, you know, you could look at when they brought the woman in front of him and they seen her sinning. Despite her situation, he still, you know, dealt with her at where she was. And so that's why we have to be able to be out there and be reachable and be able to minister unto the lost. And you know, like I said, a lot of people are fearful, which we already talked on about. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. But they're fearful of the situations that they run into. And what we have to do is understand that if God is for us, who can be against us? So you have to go boldly and say what you got to say, and you'd be surprised how you can pierce right through whatever they are going through and reach them and give them a word, and they'll understand and respect what you said.
This is one of the reasons why I pray, because I hear what you're saying, Dr. Suzanne, as far as each generation has their own thing. But my thing with this generation is the lack of respect. Even in my time when we wore the bell bottoms and the cut off the halters and all that, we didn't disrespect our parents or even those that were older than us. I know each generation gets worse than the next. But my thing, it definitely is a spiritual warfare because, my goodness, these young people today, and not even just the young people, it's just a spirit all over the place. Not just the young people, the older people too. It's just the lack of respect.
With what Minister Robinson was saying about the woman was brought before Jesus with adultery, the first thing he did with her, remember, he was still kneeling, and he let her stand over him. That was against their culture. But he showed her respect, and he called her woman. And the word woman at that time, like now we kind of use it loosely, but he addressed her properly to say woman, you know, woman this, woman that, is respectful. He didn't know her name, but it's like saying ma'am, you know.
Right.
So he showed them respect. Now, with our generations today, they don't do it. They don't know it because they haven't been taught it. They haven't been taught to be respectful. You see disrespect all around us on TV every day, the way that they do things, you know, the way the women are referred to and treated, the way that we as females allow ourselves to be treated and to be to be disrespected. But for the most part, our kids haven't been taught. And if you teach, I still believe that if you know better, you do better. And they don't know better. And there's some grown folks that don't know any better because they think that disrespectful is empowering for them.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So we have to give them examples of that, and one of the ways that we can do it is by respecting them, by being approaching them. And can you imagine the power that you'd have by saying a kind word to somebody, to some young person who's got tattoos all over their body, or I don't understand why they do the big, I don't know what they call them, the big ear things with the whole, like whole you of their head, where you don't look at that in revolt, that you respect them and you call out what's beautiful about them, and you they understand that that you can see beyond that they are lovable, that they are able to be. There's something about them, about their existence that can be appreciated, because they don't get that. They really don't get it.
But I hear what you're saying, because I don't look at all that tattoo and all that. It's just the words that are coming out of their mouth. You know, because I'm not caught up in tattoos and the ring nose. No, it's just the words coming out of your mouth. And I understand what you're saying, Doctor. You know, when they know to do better, they will. But this is why we as a body of Christ have to not only pray, but to do and to be forceful in taking back what the devil has stolen.
Amen.
And that is the souls of men and women, boys and girls.
Yeah. Some things, and we all have done wrong.
Yes.
But, you know, once we became saved and we realized our mistakes and we curved our ways and, you know, some things are done wrong that's unremovable, like the tattoos and the different things that you've done to your body. But if your heart and you want to change and you want to give your life to Christ, then those things that are on you, they're there. And people have to, even when you are going out ministering, if you got tattoos all over yourself, yes, people are going to look at you different. Yes, they're going to look at you funny. But if you bring the word and you're powerful and they understand what's going on, then all that is not even seen.
That's right.
Have to reach those. You can't go to look at those that are already tatted up and overlook them and say, well, this one ain't going to make a good Christian. Or this one we can't do. He's gone. You got to still minister to everyone, even the ones tatted up, even the ones that are messed up. Because, you know, I was way out there. And I thank God that he brought me in.
Thank you, Jim.
And I knew from that one instance, as I review my situation back in the past and I reflected back, Mm-hmm. And even further than that, God had his hand on me from the beginning.
Yes, he did.
And as I grew and matured, even though I didn't go to church as much and I stayed this way and I did that and I did things that I shouldn't have done, he still worked with me, and he brought me to this point. And I thank God that he did, and he didn't look at my situations, the things I've done, and, you know. And so that's the way we have to view anyone that we come across that has been, you know, tainted, so to speak.
Man, I heard before, you know, earlier in terms of talking about the Holy Spirit or just being anointed by the Holy Spirit. Ministry is basically meeting the needs of others. We have to meet mm-hmm. the needs of others. All of us have had a past. All mm-hmm. of us were born in sin. No one is perfect. So mm-hmm. what we're supposed to be doing as ministers is promote, proclaim, and execute the word. And what mm-hmm. we're doing is just planting seeds. And God mm-hmm. is going to do the rest. We have to decrease and let God increase. And as long
Amen.
As we just turn it all over to God, we don't know what's going to happen after that. Because if we try to figure it out ourselves, then we are trying to get the glory. But God
Amen.
Wants to go
right.
to the end.
Mm-hmm.
God gets the glory. Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good. So in all these subjects, Paul and the woman with the issue of blood, and Brother Robinson and Jonah and myself and the world, those of us, it's the moment. It's the moment.
Amen.
Like you started out with, it's the moment. We each have a moment when Christ mm. comes face to face with us. Will you or will you not? Yes, we will, Lord. We'll come to you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Everybody has a moment.
Amen. So that's the one thing we all have to reflect back and understand our moment. And
yes, so true.
Thank God that he didn't pass us by, and
mm-hmm.
that moment brought us closer to him.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, do we have any more comments? Any more comments or anything that you'd like to say to or questions for Minister Robinson? Any questions or comments? This is good teaching, Minister Robinson. Tell us the name of your ministry again.
New Vision Christian Church.
Okay.
It's in Clayton County in Forest Park, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
So if you're ever in Atlanta, stop by and see us.
And we'll do that.
All right.
Amen.
Praise
Amen. You have truly, truly blessed us this evening. We appreciate it, and we hope that you know that the invitation is extended for you and your wife to come on back and join us again in ministry here on the radio, but also if you're ever in Ohio, to please reach out to us and join us, please. Okay?
I will. I'd like to... see Minister Clay again. It's been a long time. I haven't seen him in years, so I would like to one day get up there.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, that's
Amen.
Good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Well, you are welcome anytime, and we have a guest room, and it's yours. Just let us know when you come.
Oh, all right. All right. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Another reason you have to let us know when you're coming is because we don't do a lot of meat here. Are you still a meat eater?
Well, I'm getting ready to get on a serious diet that's gonna shed a few pounds off of me. So, but
okay.
You know, I go with the flow.
Okay. Well, you might be able to survive here because a lot of folks say they got to bring their own
week.
Oh, probably. But this was absolutely wonderful teaching, and we thank you for it. But you're right. Everyone has a moment, a God moment, a moment of faith. And when Christ takes your life, where he challenges you, where he reaches out to you, where he heals you, where he drops you in, where you can be a blessing, where sometimes he has to corral you in a corner where you can't get
Wow, so true.
There's a moment with Christ. Everyone has a moment. Praise the Lord. And I'm so grateful for the moment that the Lord placed me in a place where I could, where I knew that he was there for me. I knew, like they say, that you're in the presence of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for all of the people that planted the seed, all of the people that never gave up and continuously spoke into my life, spoke life into my life, protection, those that prayed for me, those that made sure that I was at church or that I was in somebody's fellowship and fellowship with someone at times when I was definitely unlovely. They continue to love me. So I praise the Lord for that. So I hope that anyone that's listening to us this evening and will be listening to us in the archive messages, when you hear this, think about someone that you can be that seed planter to, that you can just speak into their life, speak life to them, those that you can introduce Christ to, those that you can reiterate the love of Christ and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ to, those that you have to look beyond what they say, what they do, and how they look, but that you know that their hearts are pliable, and it's a God moment for them. It's a moment. This may be the moment that you change them. I encourage you to remember that you are representing the body of Christ. So be so mindful of how you walk. As the word says, walk circumspectly, that you would not shame the body of Christ. And we praise you. We thank you all for joining us this evening. Safe travel to those that have to be on the road. I know that most of the country is under the blanket of snow. But even in the snow, even as the Lord has brought this heavy snow, just imagine what our spring will be like. This again is New Beginnings Ministry. We thank you for.
I can look beyond the